Jesus is the center of everything. By the way, thank you very much, Israel and Carlos and Sister Catherine and all of you who are behind the scenes doing worship. Sister Lorraine, I really appreciate you guys for the work that you, Pastor Chi, you know, you're the one who is over all of this department, and thank you for the consultations that you do and leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's such an incredible thing, and we don't want to take for granted, you know, that this aspect, that the first area of our worship service is worship, praising the Lord, lifting up His name. Amen. Amen. And I feel like we want to sing this song. You can go. Go ahead.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it has always been, it's always been you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it has always been, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center, and everything revolves around you. Jesus, you. The center of it all. Jesus, be the center of my life. Jesus, be the center of my life. Beginning to the end, it's always been, it's always been you, Jesus. Jesus, nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you, Jesus, you. At the center of it all. The center of it all.
At the center of it all. Come on, lift up those hands and worship Him one more time. Just lift up your holy hands. Just wave to the Lord right now. Wave to the Lord and just worship Him. If you can, open up your mouth and just tell Him you're wonderful, you're mighty, you're great. There's no one like you, Lord Jesus. We lift you up, oh God, we extol you. You're the center of our lives. Everything revolves around you. You're the one who orchestrates everything in my life. Everything stirs up in my life because of you. Without you, Father, we can do nothing. Without you, Father, we can do nothing. We can achieve nothing. And we extol you, Lord, in this house. We give you your first place in this house. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give Him a hand of praise? Amen. I just want to appreciate every one of you for your diligence to come even into the house of the Lord. There are so many people who could not make it to a house of the Lord this morning. But you made it to come into this house that is called by his name. Amen. I also want to take this opportunity to thank you from the bottom of my heart. For there are so many places you could have gone to worship. There are so many even beautiful churches that have beautiful choirs, that have beautiful, maybe even ministers, and you can even listen to a beautiful word. But you have determined to make this church your home church. And you've determined to come here and praise the Lord together with us. I don't take that for granted. Amen? And so we thank God for all of you, and even for your commitment and for your dedication even into the house of the Lord. And I just want to start by giving a little story, and I hope it's something that God is doing in our midst. And God will send people in our lives because he knows that that we can help them and that we can pick them up from their uselessness, so to speak. And by the help of the Lord is going to help each and every one of us to come together so that we can take them to the place where the Lord wants them to go. Amen? I just remember that we were also sinners, and we didn't deserve, none of us deserves the love the Lord has given us. He called us, pulled us out of a quagmire of sin. We didn't even deserve his love. But out of that state of mind, that state of being a sinner, the Lord just gave his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross for all of us. Amen? And I just want to just give a little story about a man who is in our midst. I just love the zeal that Jeff has before we hear the word of the Lord. And this is what I believe. If you have noted, the theme that God has just spoke to me a few months ago, that we may lift up the name of the Lord Jesus. That when we lift up the name of the Lord Jesus as a congregation, as individuals, the Lord is going to draw men unto himself. Amen? When we as persons, whether we be at work, whether we be at our businesses, whether we be at home, we make a decision, an intentional decision to lift up the name of the Lord. And I met with the worship team. I told Israel, I want the Lord to be the center of our lives. I want every song that we sing to glorify the name of the Lord. Amen? When we make that our agenda, when we make that our goal, God is going to draw men unto himself. And that is what our desire is, even in the next few coming months, even as we study the word of the Lord. It will be about him. It will not be about us. Because I've realized that when we make God, when we make this life about him and not about us, then he is able to take us places. Amen? And it doesn't matter where you have come from. It doesn't matter what people said about you. It doesn't even matter what your family looked like. It doesn't even matter that you are so ashamed even to tell your story. Because let me tell you, every single one of us has a story to tell. But when we make our life about the Lord, he is going to be lifted up. He is going to lift us up. I just want to echo the words that I spoke here about 3 weeks ago, and I said it was about Moses. And Moses experienced supernatural deliverances from the Lord, and he was never given an easy task to lead the children of Israel out of captivity. And you know, sometimes you watch the Moses, the Exodus movie, you know, where the children of Israel came out of captivity. And you stop to your stacks and you tend to think about what was going through the mind of Moses. And even though he grew up in Pharaoh's house and he knew everything, you know, probably the corners of everything, he probably knew, you know, he was used to, you know, he was used to power, and he was used to how maybe the systems of Pharaoh worked. But it was a different strategy when God sent him out to deliver the children of Israel. Just think about this, you know, when the Lord just descended plagues, plague upon plague upon plague, and still Moses was there listening to the voice of the Lord. And ultimately, the children of Israel were led out of captivity. And even as Moses experienced all these miracles, it got to a point whereby, you know, the children of Israel kept complaining about things that were done to them, in spite of the miracles that they had witnessed with their own eyes, what the Lord had done for them, parting the Red Sea and giving them food, manna, you know, every single day, that was fresh every single day. They experienced these miracles. Yet Moses decided and he said that, Lord, in this place that you have brought us, if your presence do not go with us, then do not lead us out of this place. Amen? And remember what we discussed about last Sunday. We said that this should be like the agenda of every priest of every home. That if the presence of the Lord doesn't go with my children today to their school, then Lord, do not let them move out of this house. Dispatch your children to school with the presence of the Lord. May you go to work with the presence of the Lord. May you do whatever you do with the presence of the Lord. Jesus is the center of everything that we do. And he said, you know, when in the book of John 5, I believe verse number 7, 15, around there, he says that I am the vine and you are the branches. And without me, you can do nothing. Think about that. Without me, the Lord says, you can do nothing. There's nothing that, you know, sometimes, you know, we have this thing, the ability, super ability. It could be education. It could be the way you articulate things. It is the Lord who gives you that strength to articulate things the way you articulate them. It is the Lord who births dreams in us. And he's the one who gives us the ability and the propensity to pursue those dreams. When you have achieved your dream, know that you didn't do it by yourself. It is the Lord who has caused you to achieve that dream. Amen? And we ought to give God the glory in all that we do. And we ought to recognize that he is the one involved in our lives. We ought to know that he is the centerpiece that holds everything together. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know whether you have seen like in a building like this, you just remove one of the pillars that hold up this building, and this building will come crumbling. It will be actually unsafe even by the city code. Why? Because they are centerpieces that hold a building together. Amen? So that's the same way that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is the centerpiece of our lives. Praise be to God. And in the next few, this week, we're going to have a heart-to-heart with each other. And next Sunday is going to be an informal heart-to-heart. So I'd like everybody, every one of you, send word, and I'm going to send word to every one of us. We're going to have a heart-to-heart with each other, concerning our church and concerning where we are going as a local body. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are going to have an informal meeting next Sunday, and we are going to begin today, but we are going to start today in a kind of formal way. But next Sunday, as we come, we are just going to sit and discuss, and you know, we'll have an opportunity to ask a question, and we'll have a few opportunity to talk amongst ourselves as regards our moving forward as a local body. Amen? It is important to every single time take inventory, even as a family, taking inventory about where you're going, even as a family. Know how your kids are doing in school. Sometimes we assume like everything is going on well, but if we are not involved, you'll be shocked to learn what is going on if we are not involved or we are not concerned. Or take inventory of our lives even as we move on. Amen? Some of the things the Lord has been doing, I knew Jeff several years ago. And I know Jeff doesn't really mind. Jeff, can you stand up so that they can see you? You see that man right there? He's actually added weight. Jeff, I knew Jeff many, many years ago. And just like most of us, Jeff has had a rough ride in life, you know, where he's been involved. He was involved in so many things. In fact, some of the things you wouldn't even want to know because, I mean, if you knew the other side of life and the downside of it, that he was in the doldrums, you know, serving the devil. And he told me, Pastor, when you see me, I've smoked all my life, you know, since I was, I think, 11 years old. That's what he told me, or maybe younger. Of how much? Nine? He smoked since 9 years old. But you know what? Time and time again, Jeff would step in the church, and he would serve the Lord, and then he would step out, he would step in, step out, and kind of like didn't have a, you know, a straight life. By the way, Jeff never asked me to say this, but I felt as we were worshiping for me to speak about the testimony about Jeff, because he may never really give that testimony. And his mother fell sick, and he had some siblings that would take care of, help him take care of his parents, I mean of his mother, who was ailing and falling sick. And so he had to be dedicated to be in that house almost 24/7 taking care of his mother. And most of his siblings never cared, never even, you know, even came to assist him. He didn't even have a regular job. He didn't even have the money, but he had to do what he had to do. And so finally, finally this year, Jeff called me and told me, my mother's very sick. I'd like you to come and meet with me. And a lot of time had passed, you know, since we communicated with him. But luckily enough, he held my number. And I remember going, and we had lunch together, and we were talking about, and it was so difficult for him even to even synthesize the idea that his mother would pass on, because he's been the one who has been taking care of his mother. But anyway, cut a long story short, his mother finally went home to be with the Lord. She was a born-again Christian, and it was so devastating for Jeff. And so the moment his mother passed away, his father and his brothers told him, okay, we know you've been taking care of our parents. We have nothing to do with you. And they just kicked him out of his house, you know, where he was staying with his mother. And because of taking care of his mother for a long time, he didn't even have a regular job as he was taking care of his mother. And so Jeff called me. He told me, my mother passed away, and, you know, this is what has happened. I'm going back to God. I've gone back to the house of the Lord, and I feel the Lord sending me to a Bible school. Can you help me? Can you come and drop me? Because this Bible school has promised me way back in Colorado. They have promised that I can go stay there and I can study the Word, and all I need is Jesus. And so he goes to Colorado. Things don't work up there, and he boasts on Greyhound bus, and he comes back here. And Jeff is the kind of a person who doesn't say his problems. I thought everything was going on well. But he was going through hell and high water. And at times, you know, in the heat of summer, he was actually, you know, trying to stay under a tree and, you know, trying to survive. Actually, even going into the dumpster, I hope you don't mind me saying that, eating from the dumpsters. And so Jeff called me one day, and I felt the Lord telling me that I've given Jeff into your hands. Amen? Sometimes, if you don't mind, Sister Lorraine, let me use this other mic.
Don't have to worry about it. And so I had the Lord speaking to me and telling me, I've given Jeff into your hands. And I know many times this is exactly what is going to happen to us as Empowerment Christian Center. Because I believe God is bringing men and women into our hands who may not really look like us, who may not really believe in what we believe, who may not really agree with what we are, you know, in our faith, and so that we can take them to the next level. Amen? And so Jeff, we took Jeff and, you know, went somewhere, cleaned him up, and, you know, paid a motel to him. And I could see the zeal of the Lord, and I started pouring the word of the Lord into his life. And he told me, I need you to, you know, see if I can get a job because I need to be on my feet. Finally, anyway, God helped us, and we found him a job. He is now having a job. And I'm glad to report to you that Jeff is doing very well in the Lord. Every time he's working, he tells me, Pastor, I need to come this Sunday so that I can be in the house of the Lord. And many times we've gone about him, you know, driving around. He tells me, can we go into the house? And he comes into the house, and he doesn't even know that I recognize this. And he comes and kneels down there to thank God every time for what he did. Praise be to God. That is the testimony of what God is doing in our midst. And there's some other cases that the Lord has also brought into our hands, and people that we met on the streets, and we know, and they didn't even have a point of abode, and they didn't have any direction, and the Lord placed them in our feet. And today, I'm happy to report to you that there are people that you will come to see what God is doing in our midst. It is about Him and not about us. Praise the Lord. Today, I'm able to report to you that Jeff is filled with the Holy Ghost, and every time he calls me, he's telling me, send me verses, I need to grow. He still has some several weaknesses, you know, and issues that he's dealing with, but we're telling God, you're going to give us patience so that he's going to overcome. And with the time, I told him, I'm going to take you to Africa and go preach the gospel. Amen? This is what it is all about. The gospel is not about us. It is about him. When we allow ourselves, when we are present, the Lord's eyes are looking across the face of the earth, looking for somebody who is willing and ready to be committed to him, that he may use them to propagate the work of the ministry. Amen. And my question to all of us today, are we willing? Are we available? Are we available to what the Lord is really prompting us? He is the Lord of the harvest. And I hear every single morning I go to pray, I hear the Spirit of the Lord, you know, almost like in a trumpet, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Amen? I want you to tell the neighbor, the person sitting next to you, are you a laborer? Turn to the other one, ask them, are you available? Are you available? That's a question I hear the Spirit of the Lord asking us. Are you available in the church, you know, to do the work of the ministry? Are you aware? Are you available? Are your eyes, are your ears open enough to hear the soft voice of the Spirit of God when he speaks to you? Or are you crowded with so many voices that are telling you, oh, sister so-and-so, do this, do the other? And in the midst of those voices, there's always that still voice of the Holy Spirit telling you, Teresa, this is what I want you to do. And when you do this, it glorifies me. Amen? But you see, what happens is this, my brothers and my sisters, listen to me. I want to speak to us as a father would speak to his children. The Lord will speak to you in the midst of so many voices that you have. It is good to work. It is good to bring bread on the table. You will be unwise, Pastor Francis, if you don't go to work and bring bread for your children. It will be unwise, Pastor Julius, for you not to go to work and bring bread for Andrew. Amen? But even as we do that, the Lord also has an expectation of our lives, that we may step up and go the extra mile and answer the call of ministry. Amen? Amen? Are you listening to me, church? I want us to turn our Bibles in the book of Haggai. They call it Haggai. If you want to call it Haggai, Haggai, it doesn't matter. Call it in the book of Haggai. Haggai was one of the minor prophets. And I had preachers explain to their congregations that the fact that Haggai was a minor prophet doesn't depict the fact that he was just a junior prophet. He was a prophet with full rights. Amen. And but his work has not really been depicted so much in the Bible. Can I read, verse 1, and we shall read the first, somebody who has the book of, let me see where it is, opened it. Julius, are you in the book of Haggai?
Yes, sir.
Can you read us the first chapter? Yes. It's a very small chapter anyway.
The word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Thus says the Lord of hosts, these people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. Then the word of the Lord came by the prophet Haggai, saying, is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And you that earn wages to put them into a bag with holes. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider how you have fared. Go up to the hills and bring wood and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You have worked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you have brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because my house lies in ruins, while all of you hurry off to your houses. Therefore the house above you have withheld the dew, and the earth has withheld its produce. And have called for a drought on the land and the hills, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, on what the soil produces, on human beings and animals, and all their labors. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of the prophet Haggai, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the messenger of the Lord, spoke to the people with the Lord's message, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the month, in the sixth month.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we appreciate the Lord? Amen. Now, this story, for some of you who have read the book of Haggai, and by the way, I'm in no way, I don't want you to take personal. This is about the state of the church as general. Amen? And I'll just, when I was thinking about today, and I thought about the state of the church, there's so many things that we have to put in perspective so that we can have a general idea of what the Lord is feeling concerning the work of the ministry. Usually, the things that are important in our lives, we take care of them, right? The things that you know that are important, you know, you everything, I believe, even though you may not have really a written to-do list for the things that you're supposed to do every day, I know in your mind you have kind of like a to-do list of the things that you're supposed to do. It could be maybe this week. It could be maybe this month. It could be maybe the next 2-3 years, Pastor Francis, that you have determined to do. And you've decided that this month, these are the things that I'm going to accomplish. Amen? If you're in business, you want to maximize your profits. If you're at work, you want to please your boss, or you want to work several hours because you have a targeted goal. In other words, every to-do list that we ever have, even as a person, you know, as individuals, they range from the most important things to the things that are less important. Amen? And so you find people, the things that you do every single day and you involve yourself with, those are things that are very pertinent to your life. Amen? When I wake up in the morning, you know, the things that you do in the morning, whether it's making a cup of tea and rush to work, you go to work because work is important, because at the end of the week you bring a paycheck, right? And that paycheck is what pays for your bills. And if you're like some other people, maybe you wake up in the morning, you read the word of the Lord, and you want to start the day, you know, with the Lord, and you're commanding the affairs of that day. You're praying, and you're communicating with God, and you're telling God, I don't want to be involved in this day or anything that would come my way. I would like you to be the center of my day. Amen? And when you start your day with the things that you start the day with, those are things that are pertinent to you. It is important, therefore, for us to reevaluate our to-do list, because not all things that are in our to-do list are very important. As a matter of fact, not everything that is good out there is right for you. You know, the fact that you know there's trains. Somebody used to use this example. The fact that there's a train that moves, you know, from Richardson going to Dallas, and it's owned by a company, doesn't necessarily mean that you can own one, because you may not really be able to manage. It's a good thing if you would have a business, you know, of that nature, but it may not really be necessary important for you, or right for you, for that matter. Amen? So it is important, therefore, to every single time to take inventory of our to-do list, because it could be that in your to-do list, there are things that are less important than the things, and the things that you've jacked out or put away from your to-do list are more important in our lives than the things that are on our to-do list. Amen? On Thursday, we had a meeting here with a few brothers who come normally for Bible study, and we were
we were checking out on some news that had come out. I think it was the beginning of last week, whereby one CEO just declared himself, you know, CEO of a big company, declared that he was gay. You know, and we were kind of like, oh, man, this is going to cause a ripple effect, you know, throughout the world. It was actually the company of Apple. If some of you who check news, you know, he just declared one day, woke up in the morning and declared that, you know what, I'm gay, you know. And that, to many people, is not a big deal. But if you know the Lord, and if you know surely where we are standing in the clock of the end time events, then you know that is significant. Amen? We woke up this morning, I don't know whether it is yesterday or today, and Google just declared this is the day of the dead. I mean, we are living in days whereby things are going to be declared, but we are still in the world. Amen? We are still in the midst of all these things that are taking place. And you can, and I can hear somebody asking me, Pastor, what is wrong with Google declaring it to be the day of the dead? Did I hear that correctly? Or maybe it's my ears. I heard somebody, what is the problem? So, you know, Google declaring the day of the dead. What is, does it concern me? It concerns you because you, every single time, use Google to search for the things that you want to search for. Amen? It concerns you because you're part of this system that is in here. And therefore, we need to recognize the fact that the world is not getting better, or the things that are that pertain, the end time events are not even getting blurrier, but they're getting brighter and so conspicuous, so that when you wake up, you'll hear, you'll be, your ears will be in the listening of these things, and it should not take you by surprise, because the Bible says, before the son of perdition, there will be a falling away that will take place. Amen? And we who are in the faith, we need to stand strong and firm and call upon the name of the Lord, that we may not be shaken. Praise be to God. We should not be surprised when these things take place, because there will be a falling away in the world system. And there will be so many things that you hear, but what a child of God, a born-in Christian, supposed to do in the event that these things will come up? In the event a big company like Google declare that today is the day of the dead, we know that God is not the God of the dead. He is the God of the living. Amen? And you can declare, even as you go Google search your things, that I am searching, whatever you're searching, it could be a business, it could be a research, that God is the God of the living. Amen? And you can declare words in the atmosphere. Let me announce it to you, church. As long as you're a believer, a child of the living God, you, when you speak your words, they never empty words. But they have a creative power. And I spoke this some time ago, that words have a way of remodeling and reshaping some destinies. So when you speak and say that, you know, God is the God of the living, you counter effect or counteract the effect that the Google as an organization, doesn't matter how humongous it is, but your voice is so strong in the community. When you wake up in the morning, maybe you are the only voice that is God, that God is expecting in your neighborhood. Oh my God, let me tell you, in your neighborhood, there could be two or three believers who really know the Lord. So when you wake up in the morning and you call upon the name of the Lord, you might be calling the name of the Lord on behalf of that whole community. And the devil might be designing harm even to that community. But just because you stood up, you woke up in the morning and you kicked up your blankets and you're calling the name of the Lord on behalf of that city, on behalf of your community, on behalf of your children, then the reign of the Lord is going to come. Amen. See, we were being treated to a story last Thursday, and one brother, I believe is Brother Samuel, was telling us about this documentary that he saw on the Congo. And you know what happens is that, you know, the forest is so dense, and so because of evaporation, you know, that comes as a result of the sun coming down, there's such a mist every single day that rises up into the atmosphere. And so when this mist rises up into the atmosphere, it condenses and it forms a big cloud, and the water every single day is experienced in the Congo. Praise the Lord. And he was telling us, and I was really edified when he was telling us, that when we have Brother Victor, you know, up in Plano, when we have Brother Brother Joe up in Richardson, when we have Brother Pastor Julius up in McKinney, and they are calling upon the name of the Lord, what happens is the fervency of the Lord rises up, and it condenses, and it will pour out in form of rain. And when you, how many of us don't think that rain is good? Rain is good in whatever situation, right? As a matter of fact, wherever you come from, rain is considered as a blessing. Amen? Oh, when it rains, everybody says, oh, the Lord has blessed us with rain today. The Lord has given us his showers. And how many of you know that when rain comes down, it doesn't discriminate who it falls on? So as a result, when the rain comes down in your city, in your community, just because of your prayer and your dedication to the Lord, guess what is going to happen? The rain of the blessings is going to come. And people, things that you never had, safety and insecurity in schools that are so prevalent in our cases today, there's almost a murder every day, somebody is killed by a gun. Have you read that in CNN? Almost there's could be a school. It could be maybe in a cinema hall. It could be maybe in a place of gathering. People are using guns to kill each other. Let me tell you what can change that. It will be changed by the prayers of the saints. Because when we pray, something happens in the atmosphere. When we pray, something is instigated in the atmosphere. And let me tell you, whether you like it or not, there is a war going on in the heavenlies. Whether you may want to know it, whether you may want to believe it or not, there is a war that is taking place in the atmosphere. And that war has to be ranged on by saints who are blood washed. And that is you and me. When we cry out to God, when we fight the enemies of God, something happens in the atmosphere. The mission of the devil is to kill, to destroy, and to do what? To steal, to kill, and to kill, to steal. First of all, he steals, okay? He wants to steal. He wants to take as many people with him to where he belongs. Are you listening to me? He wants to steal. In fact, let me tell you, if the devil feels like this, somebody might be connected with Jeff, and Jeff might tell them about Jesus, or he might be connected with Pastor Franz and tell about Jesus, the first thing that he will do is to make sure that they never meet. So he will steal them. And number two, what he does after he steals them, he destroys them. Yeah, he kills them. Yeah, he kills them, right? And how does he kill them? By putting them in enmity with God, showing that God is useless. God can never help you. You know, putting them away, every time you'd want to go share the word of the Lord, they are so antagonistic with the words of the Lord. And finally, he destroys them. You know, that is the threefold mission of the devil. And so when we recognize that the three mission the devil is to kill people and to destroy them and to steal them, we cannot afford just but to pray. Amen? Now, we come to our main topic before I conclude on this. Church, we as a local body have to rise up. I want to appreciate every one of you for the things that you do. Would like even to instigate things like have like a cell group, and we should be discussing this next Sunday in an informal way so that we can see the possibility of doing it. Would like even to have women meeting and can have meeting together. You know, would like to have men come together and have a mbuzi together, right? But I want you to know, my brothers and my sisters that I love so much, there's nothing that is going to take off at Empowerment Christian Center if we do not pray. May I repeat that? We can plan so many things. We can have so many programs. We can have so many things that we do. But if we do not find time to pray together, it is all useless. We will pray in vain. Are you listening to me? We got to determine. I was thinking the other day, when we have caches in Africa or wherever you had caches in Africa, what did you used to do? This is a charity. We used to go to those caches, right? But what happens now when we call for a one monthly meeting? We don't even come for prayer. And you know I love you so much. Don't look down. Because it is not your problem. It is not actually you that have refused to come. I was thinking, if Empowerment Christian Center was in Africa, like in Africa, and the pastor called for a prayer meeting, for example, would you not come? Now I'm speaking to you as a father of the house. Would you not come? Did we not, and by the way, you would not even have a car. You would actually have to board maybe a Kenya bus, Sir Francis, and walk, right? miles. Would you not do it? By the way, I don't want you to feel like I'm stepping on anybody's toes, because I feel like I don't want to come to church sometimes. But I want us to have a heart-to-heart. If we want things to take off, even in your family, if we do not pray, my brothers and sisters, it will be in vain. I told Pastor Chi on Friday, I told him, Pastor, are you coming for Kesha? And he said, okay, he said what he said to me. He said, Pastor, you know, in other words, there's always going to be a? Huh? Come on, say it louder. You want to worship the devil? Hannah, say it. It's going to be? Okay. You know, I came to work. And by the way, I'm going to work at 6 o'clock, or my husband is going to work at 6 o'clock. And so we have to sleep together before, because he has, you know, if I come to, you know. I am going to work at 11. And so because I'm going at 11, if I come, things will happen. By the way, I have a load that has to speak up 7 in the morning. So if I don't spend time 5, you know, if I don't go to, you know, there's always going to be an eh? Church, listen, that is what the devil would want you to have. That is what the devil would want us to. By the way, I don't want you to feel like I'm stepping on any of you. But I'm telling you, even in your own home, see what the Bible said in the beginning. Now, these were the children of Israel. They had come out of captivity. It is the same situations like we are in Betty. These guys were captives and they were remnants, okay? And now they were taken up in captivity. In captivity, there was nothing. In fact, if you remember Psalm 137, they were being told to sing the Lord's song in the new, by the song that says, by the rivers of Babylon. There we sat down. Did you hear that song? Did you listen to that song a long time ago? In the 60s. By the rivers of. Where we sat down when we remembered Zion. How can we sing? How can we sing a new song in a foreign land? In other words, they would say, how could we even sing the long? We are not free. How could we sing a new song in a foreign land? We used to go in those old churches, and we used to play with the kandrama, and we would dance, and there would be dust. But now when we have come in America, how can I even hold a kandrama and play? How can we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? But let me tell you, church, even in a new land, you can sing a new song. You can praise the Lord even in a new land. In fact, let me tell you, church, and I'm speaking this with all the love. I wish you can know the love that I have for you guys and for the Lord. In this place, God has given us everything. He has given us a car. Right now, you can get into your car and put it within 1 minute. It is actually conditioned to the weather that you want. You know, there's weather inside your car, weather. You know? If it's cold outside, you can conduce it, you know, condition it to the weather that you want. And you can zoom in. By the way, it takes only 5 seconds to get out of your car. And inside here, because I'll be here, I'll have put the AC for you. Or the weather that you would like here so that you can come and pray. You know? What? Listen to me, church. When they came out of Babylon and they went into Israel, these guys were like us. You know, when we come from the places where we came from, you know what happens? You are in dust and you never had any opportunity. You are wishing, I wish I'll get to America one day. I'll work and work and work and get the dollars that you have. And this is what they did. They entered the house of the Lord. Amen. Now the Bible says in chapter 1, verse 8, go build my house that I may take pleasure and be glorified. Somebody say pleasure and be glorified. See, when we do the things the Lord has commissioned to do in the house of the Lord, Jeff, the Lord takes pleasure in your life and he is glorified in his life, in your life. Amen. So what happens? When God has called you to be the leader of a certain ministry and you never show up, or you're never even concerned, let me tell you, we are in a generation, people can take off from the church, they don't even call the, by the way, listen, it is very important, and I'm advising you now again as your father.
a few of you call me and tell me, Pastor, I'm not be able to come. I was challenging one of my friends back there, and I was telling him, where were you this Sunday? And he told, oh, you know, Pastor, we went to this, and you know, and I was thinking of calling you, but you never call me. Call me. The reason why you call me is so that I may pray for you. I'm not really interested. You can go wherever you want to go, but I want, because you're under my under the covering of Empowerment Christian Center, I want to pray for your journey wherever you are going. I want to know that you're doing okay. Many times, seriously, I want to know that you're doing okay. For if you're not doing okay, I'm not doing okay. Amen. Text me. Tell me, Pastor, this day I've been called by boss to do another shift. And that's why I'm not going to come. Please pray for me that next time I'll be able to come to church. Amen? You be accountable that way. You know what? You're not responding to Tony because Tony is a human like you, but you're responding to the authority, God's authority, under you. Amen? It is important to honor authority. It is important to honor the house of God. There has to be order in the house of the Lord. See what happened when they rejected, they were working. They said, you know what? That they saw the house of the Lord. It lay in ruins. In their case, it had been destroyed by the Babylonians. It was completely destroyed. We may not really see the walls of this real rental building really collapse. But the situation in here, things that you may not really know, might be crumbling. You might be, the Lord may have commissioned you to say, you know what, I want you to be in charge of the finances. And the pastor came and told you, Brother Joe, I want you to be taking care of the finances. But you never take heed of taking care of the finances. God could have called you to be a leader of the women. God could have called you to be the leader of the person who welcomes people by the door, Sister Betty. You know? Ben, God could have called you to train the young men. And by the way, by calling your names, I don't want you to take it personal. Are you listening to me? I don't want you guys to go discuss this after the service. This is a heart-to-heart children. You know, Pastor Linionea Kijicho. I don't want you to say, Pastor, you know, did you hear what you were saying in the service? And he mentions this my name because of, we are having a heart-to-heart. When we neglect the work of the Lord takes displeasure in it. When we don't respond, coming back to this, the church in Africa, if we were called to pray, surely, weren't we, were we not all going to, and we were actually fighting on the door to go to that Kesha, Israel? We would come and pray. I would rather if you came and prayed that minute and say, because I'm going to work at 7, I have to leave early. Sometimes I send the message on WhatsApp and I said, why? I've sent this now for many, I think some people look at that and say, they don't even, you know, it's like it's one of those, you know, things pastor do. His pastoral duty is just fulfilling his mission. No. I desire when I come here and I'm calling upon the name of the Lord, I want to hear the voice of Victor. I'm longing to hear the voice of Betty. I hear the voice of Charity here. I'm longing to hear the voice of Christine calling upon the name of the Lord. Because I know when we call upon the name of the Lord, that is the center of the everything that is going to begin to take place. Not only in this house, but in your house. There are some things that have stagnated for too long a time because we never get time to spend time with the Lord. Amen? And the Bible says that when they were bringing in their income, the Lord, because they said, okay, you think you're better than me. God has a God of humor. Yeah, let me tell you, you can go work even 3 schedules or have 3 jobs, but you know what? And I can bet you and take this to the bank 1 year. Just neglect the house of the Lord. Say, you know what? I want to see what is going to happen. After all, you know, I can do it. I'm in America. I have a nice car. And you go do it. The Lord will come. You have the money. That's all he does. And you know what? Sometimes I receive so many calls. Pastor, I've not seen somebody in 4 weeks. But when something happens, Pastor, I received a call yesterday, actually 2 days before. Would you allow me to say this? Because actually you don't even know the person. This person, she came to our church like 3 times. And she called me. She said, oh, Pastor, I couldn't even recognize because my phone didn't have no ID. Oh, who is this? Oh, you can't remember me. I'm this sister who came to blood. And I, oh, yeah, where have you been? I remembered her. Oh, you know, I went to Kenya. I've been there for 1 year. I said, 1 year?
I didn't even know that you went. You didn't even call me. So I said, okay, because every time somebody calls you strangely, okay, can you get down to the basic things why you're calling me? Said, so what's going on? Oh, you know, Pastor, I've come here, and you know the way you go, you go to Africa, you have forgotten even to drive a car. I want you. Did you move from Arlington? I said, yes, we moved. So what's the big deal? We're now living in Frisco near Little M. Oh, because you know now I've forgotten even to drive a car. I would like you to come and help me so that you can go take me. There's an interview I would like to do in Plano. Also, do you know any house or any apartment that some members that are living there in Plano that is good, there's no theft? So I said, let me tell you, when you're a pastor, you have to be very humble, because if it was you, say, you would disconnect that phone, right? So I said, in my heart, I'm not talking to her, but I said in my heart, now these are the things, I don't know whether it's the devil speaking to me now, but oh God, but I'm feeling, okay, you went to Africa, you never even called me. When you're absent, you never call me. Now that you have a need, the only person that you can remember is Pastor Tony. So I said, my sister, I'm so sorry. Is there anyone that I can give him money in the church who is not employed? I told them, all the people in the church are employed. That's what I told her. There's no one. Who do you think I could tell her? Could I tell Masharia to go and help her? Or Gideon? In fact, Gideon would tell me something I would not even tell you. You know Gideon there. He would tell me, Pastor. And you are laughing because you know what Gideon would tell me. You tell me, go tell that woman maybe to go to a hospital to be checked. You see what I'm trying to see? Be for the house of God in times of goodness and happiness. And in times of need, when you call us, we'll be with you. Are you listening to me, church? Do not, because God takes pleasure when you commit to the things of the Lord. And the things of the Lord begins by, let me tell you, when I was coming through 35, every time I come to church, they're constructing 35, by the way, and I'm just about now, this is the last story. We'll continue this next time. As I'm coming on 35, there's a heap of dirt they have put on the side, you know? And when I came there and I said, wow, they're really constructing 35. And then one time I noticed there was a little patch of grass, little one, you know? Grass that was growing, and it was, you know, you could tell it even on the road, because it was a little patch of grass. And I said, now where did that grass come from? You know, it is just all alone in this heap of the mountain. And let me tell you, I took interest. And every time I've been driving there, I realized that the patch is growing and growing and growing and growing. And you know what? As I started, sometimes I observe people and I observe things. And as I started growing, the Lord began to speak to me about that patch of grass. And it's like I heard the voice of the Lord telling me, remember how you saw that grass? It was just little. But now it is expanding. It is growing. Because it is connected to the right source of its growth. Are you listening to me? And I said, the Lord spoke to me, that is how it is with the things of the Lord. By the way, I don't expect now that, you know, beginning now this cash, I'll see everybody, you know, they're walking, how is that, shame the name of Jesus. But you start somewhere. You know what, Pastor Chi? We have to start somewhere. If coming to the house of Lord is so important, as is important as going to work, you know what? Very early in the morning, you'll wake up and you say, I want to be the first one in the house of the Lord. I'm not saying that you join me at 9 o'clock when I come here on Sunday, because I'm coming here to sanctify the atmosphere. And I'm not saying that to brag. But at least show up, at least even 15 minutes. You kneel down and call upon the name of the Lord. It is for your benefit, it is not for mine. When you pray for your children, it is for the benefit of your children. Are you listening to me, church? It is for the benefit of your posterity. It is for the benefit of your livelihood. Especially if you're a leader, if it doesn't matter what you do. If you're a leader of the home groups, I mean of the families, if you know you're a leader in our church, surely you need to be here early in the morning. When we call for the meetings of prayer, you need to be here. Are we together, church? Are we together? Now, I don't want you to go home thinking that I stepped on your toe. But I would want you to go think about it. Ask the Lord of the harvest and ask, whatever, how do I regard the house of the Lord? No one is perfect. I'm not even perfect. Sometimes I fail so much. If you look at my weakness trail, you'll be surprised. Is that still our pastor? But I'm telling God, God help me that I may step up. Amen? So this coming Sunday, I would like us to have a heart-to-heart. And I'd like to communicate to you the things that we want to organize. But we are not going to organize these things unless we have a regard for the highest of the Lord. Amen? We want to give pleasure. We want to give glory. We want the Lord to receive glory from what we do in the house. Amen? And Pastor Chi came, and as I conclude, he told us about unity on Friday. He says that, brothers, what did they say in Psalms 133? How good, thank you, Betty, thank you. How good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in? I want you to end it with me. For brothers to end in? To dwell together in? Say unity. Unity. Say unity. Unity. Joe, say unity. Unity. We need to dwell in unity. Where there is unity, God commands a blessing. Do you want God to command a blessing and life? And the Bible actually says it is like oil that is poured into Aaron's head, flowing down into the beard of Aaron, into the rest of the body. Do you know what that means? This is a local body. When we are in unity, when we agree in the things that we say, okay, we are going to do this. We have the building project. You've really rounded it up and we are doing it. The unity, the blessing, God will command a blessing. And that blessing will touch each and every one of us. There are some blessings that you cannot get as an individual. There are some blessings that are designated for you to get because we are united as a local body. May we be united. May the Lord command that special blessing upon our lives in the name of Jesus. Let us rise up to our feet in the name of the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, I always thank you, Lord, even for these loved ones that you brought into this ministry. Each and every one of them is unique and have a special capabilities that you have placed in their hearts. Whether it be the one who goes behind the toilets to clean them up, either it be the one who sits down in the board, Lord, even to draw policies and to make suggestions about where we want to go as a church. Father God, we are all important before you. I want to thank you, Father, because even as we decide to go to the next step, to make another step, another level, that we shall be united. We shall not stab each other, Lord, on the back. We shall not open up our mouth, Father, and to speak dirty things concerning the ministry. Because this is not on his house, Lord. This is your house. It is called by your name. And when this beloved come here, Lord, and they put across their petitions to you, you honor those petitions. I pray that you shall visit each and every family, every single man, every single woman, in the name of Jesus. As we prepare for next Sunday, Lord, we want to pray that we shall have a good time, Lord, even as we reason with each other concerning the things that we want to plan ahead, Father, even for this ministry. I thank you, Heavenly Father. Take us back to the crossroad where it all begins, on our knees. And I thank you, Father, because we shall respond to the call of ministry in the name of Jesus. Father, if there be any need in our midst, somebody sick, Lord, somebody who is needing a miracle, Lord, may you touch them right now in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise.